National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History 2, Wednesday, May 13, 1987. Interview with Dr. Joseph Eaton at his residence, 5844 Beacon Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Interviewers, Florence Joseph and Rhea Lean. I'll play it back. We know from your vita, Dr. Eaton, just how rich and varied your career has been, and we're interested in discussing it all with you. But for purposes of oral history, we would like to begin at the beginning, shall we say, with your roots. Could you tell us something about your family background? Could we start with your parents? Your father's name and birthplace?
My father was born in Fürth, F-U-E-R-T-H, Germany, a city near Nuremberg, in which Jews of Bavaria lived, because until 1870 they were not allowed to live in Nuremberg, famous for the Nuremberg trials.
Yes.
So anti-Semitism has very deep roots in Bavaria. Nuremberg is a city which is a Protestant island in a Catholic area. And this has something to do with perhaps its development as a city in which the Nazis had an early lead and prominence. It is a large city of the Bavaria, and this is why my father ultimately moved there, because he owned a factory to make shaving brushes.
I see.
And my mother came from Frankfurt, Germany, which is a very old Jewish community, which had the fortune of not being the center of anti-Semitic excesses. So Jews have lived there for many centuries, and in relative protection. And both of them, in other words, their families, had lived in Germany for many years. As a result, I did not learn Yiddish at home. We spoke German. They were Orthodox, but very modern Orthodox.
Do you happen to know how they met?
They met, I believe, her parents worked through someone to arrange for the meeting. It was a period of history where marriages often were partly arranged. And so they met after some intermediaries. They were looking for a young man who was enterprising, and so my father turned up.
And he qualified.
And he qualified. And they were married. My mother had an accident while cooking, and she lost an eye in the process. I had a glass eye, but something I didn't know for many years. And I think this may have explained why her parents felt they had to do something to marry her off.
Where were they married?
They were married in Frankfurt, just before World War II. In fact, I believe the wedding day was the day the ship, what is it, Atlantis? No. What was the famous ship that sank? Atlantis?
No. You're talking about the famous sinking.
Yes,
I'm trying to remember the name of it.
No, Lusitania.
No. It was a ship that ran into a iceberg.
That was a Lusitania that ran into an iceberg, but you said World War One.
Lusitania, the ship that has now been discovered?
Yes.
Okay. I think the wedding day was the day of Lusitania. Sorry.
That would have been when, approximately?
1912,
I see. Well, where did they settle then?
In Nuremberg. And then World War II broke out, and my parents had their first child in 1913, so my father was drafted in the German army.
You're talking about World War I?
World War I, very shortly. And so my mother moved back to Frankfurt to be with her parents. It was, German Jews had a very unpleasant period in World War I because there was so much anti-Semitism. There were accusations in the newspapers that Jews were not willing to serve the fatherland. So they had a census of Jews who were serving in the army. And it showed that Jews exceeded their proportion of the population serving in the army. So I believe the results were never published because that was not, would have been a bit embarrassing for the
contrary. Okay.
But it certainly did something to my father's outlook as a German. This experience of serving 4 years in the army and being treated as a second-class citizen, much of it at the front. He was very lucky to survive because, as you no doubt know, World War I was an extremely bloody undertaking with battles like Verdun, which I think over 100,000 people were killed. So, ironically, he died in the Holocaust. He was captured in Holland, and both he and my mother were sent to Auschwitz.
I see.
As a thank you note for serving in the German army.
How many children did they have?
Four children, all boys.
I see. Where did your siblings settle? Are they in this country?
Well, my siblings, in 1933, when Hitler came to power, and at that time I was 12 years old. So, I was 14. I remember well enough his accession to power. Obviously, one followed the newspapers very well, and at that point we lived in Berlin. We had moved to Berlin because my father's factory had to go out of business. In 1929, business was in very bad shape, and he couldn't keep on competition and so on. He relied heavily on export, and that shrunk. Shaving brushes are not something that people can keep their old brushes a little longer. So he moved to Berlin, and I witnessed what was going on in Berlin. And a few months after Hitler came into power, shortly, I think, after the April 1st boycott of Jews, where all stores owned by Jews were painted and people told not to buy from Jews. It was sort of the beginning of the pressure on Jews. I was forced to leave school, high school. My parents made a decision that they would like to leave, and this is the first step since they had no way of just emigrating. My father lost all of his money during the Depression. So preparations were made for us to leave and to send the children away and that they would follow.
And the children came where?
Well, my two oldest brothers, who were Zionist, as was our family, started to prepare to go to Palestine. One of them became a carpenter.
What was his name?
Martin was his name.
Was this the one who was born in 1913?
He was born only in 1915.
Oh.
And Martin became a carpenter. This was his interest after finishing high school. In other words, university was not considered, not only because Jews couldn't go, but because ideologically he wanted to make a break. And he became an apprentice to someone in Germany and learned a fair amount. He couldn't finish his apprenticeship, but then migrated to Israel to be a carpenter, joined a kibbutz. And this kibbutz first lived in tents for many years, and later on it It is today one of the most prosperous kibbutzim in the country.
What is the name of it?
Yavne. Mm-hmm. It's really like a country club in terms of...
How do you spell that?
Yavneh. So when he was, until he died, head of the commentary. And the old fashioned, I mean, in Germany, people are very cautious and careful with resources, so he made use of every scrap of lumber, so he was known for running one of the most cost-effective carpentries. And, you know, kibbutzim do much of their own construction.
Yes, I know.
And so on. So,
and other brothers?
The older brother had gone into a business as a clerk, as an apprentice, and did start university, had a few courses, and then went to Holland, and from there also to Palestine.
I see. What was his name?
Shlomo. Mm-hmm. Shlomo. S-H-L-O-M-O-H. Although his German name is, my parents gave him the name Siegfried, S-I-E-G-F-R-I-E-D. Mm-hmm. Very Germanic.
Yes, indeed. What did he do in the...
Well, he...
You keep referring to Palestine.
Yeah. Well, he became...
It was Israel at that time.
It was Palestine.
It was Palestine, oh, yes. I see.
It was Palestine until 1948.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
So Palestinians until then were mostly Jews.
I see.
I mean, there was a Palestinian brigade in the... in the British Army and Palestine on their lapel. Mm-hmm. So there was no Israel until 1948 when the government decided to name that part that became the Jewish state Israel rather
and,
than...
And he immigrated at what time?
He's immigrated in 1935.
I see.
Or so, both of them. And he worked for the government as a translator. He was during for a while when the war started. He was a censor of mail for the British government, since he knew Dutch. And he did go to the university, but he never finished. And ultimately, he became an official in the customs office after the state was established. But during the war, served in the British Army. My second brother, Martin, did not serve in the British Army because he was in a kibbutz, and they were needed. So the Jewish agency did not encourage them because they were basically part of the defense system of the Jewish community. But there were about 30,000 Jews in the British Army, which was a very important part of history, because in a way the British prepared the way for Israel's statehood by training what later on became the Jewish army, the Haganah. Mm-hmm. Also they learned how to acquire arms and so on, so that was very important.
That leaves us with one brother. He's
the youngest.
You were not the youngest.
No, I was I came next. I have one younger brother who was 2.5 years younger than myself. His name is Herbert. And Herbert, like myself, was sent to the United States in 1934.
How did that come about, Dr.
Eaton? The American community decided that they should do something. And you know, the American immigration laws at that time were extremely tight. And as we know today, both the American and Canadian governments had made a calculated decision not to absorb too many of these Jews. And so there were people who actually came illegally were, as you may remember, were even sent back to Germany. But as sort of a concession to the Jewish community, they agreed to permit 2,000 Jewish children to come to the United United States to study. And my parents made, it must have been a very difficult decision to send children aged 12 and 14. But they decided that they were very pessimistic about what would happen. So nobody thought of Holocaust, but simply there would be no way of getting an education. And living under these circumstances. So they signed up, and at the beginning there were not too many Jews who saw what might be happening. So it wasn't difficult to be accepted. And so I landed in New York, and he was sent a few weeks later to Cincinnati.
But you came together?
No,
separately. Oh, you didn't come together?
No, this technically didn't work out this way.
I see. You're... two brothers are still in Israel now.
That's right. No, my third brother ultimately also went there after he finished college, and he was sent to Israel to help establish a factory that makes tires.
Is this Herbert?
Herbert, yes. Mm-hmm. Alliance.
So the three of them are in Israel.
In Israel, that's right.
And anything significant about their children that we ought to record?
Well, yes. First of all, they have Martin has four children who play a quite significant part in the country. One is married to a senior officer. In the Israeli army, who frequently comes to the United States on missions. And she's a researcher in the Weizmann Institute.
Could we have her name for the record?
Yes. Her name is, his name is Yohanan Or, O-R, that means light.
I see.
And her name is Ayala Eaton. Although they now call it Eitan in Israel.
I see.
Then the oldest, a girl who married a banker. She is a teacher, and he works as a senior official in the... Israel has a special bank that deals with mortgages, the mortgage bank of the country. So the third young man is Yoav, who is in the kibbutz and is in charge of a very sizable chicken industry, a hatchery mostly. They sell small chicks and send them all over the world. And he got his PhD in genetics. And the fourth one is he got caught in having to fight in several wars at the front. He was very effective in the 1973 war. I think he was a tank commander and survived three tanks that were being shot up in the Sinai. And he's married, but he's had problems settling down, other than he's a good businessman, and went to Nigeria for a few years to run a farm on a contract with some large Nigerian enterprise. My oldest brother married rather late. He has one child who is also in the Israeli Armed Forces and communications. A very brilliant person. Somebody who just never has to study. And he also has a stepson. They're all very much part of the Israeli establishment.
I can see that.
So, and the youngest brother, Herbert, It's not Orthodox, although he was not in the United States. And so he has 6 children.
I see.
But he became very Orthodox, so he did not believe that they should get a secular education, so they became, he sent them to yeshivot, and where they got a very religious education, which has affected what they're doing now.
It's limited them, I guess.
Very much limited.
Oh, so. Well, you came where when you arrived here?
To New York.
To New York.
New York City.
And where did you, with whom did you settle?
Well, the agency that brought these children had a social service that placed them in foster homes.
What agency was that?
It was the Jewish Children's Aid, I think it's called.
See.
It's I'm not sure it exists today. Probably would be very similar to what we have here, the Jewish Family and Children's
Service. Yes.
That's right.
I see. And so you were placed with a foster family.
That's right. With one, and that people volunteered, but when they then very often things didn't work out, so you were actually changed, or the young person didn't feel comfortable. And so, but you see, I went to high school first.
You went to elementary school in...
No, I had started high school in Germany.
And you went to the primary grades in Germany?
Yes, and was in the first year of high school when I came here.
I see. Was this in New York City?
First I went to New York City in Jefferson High School, which is in Brownsville, which at that time had a superb high school because they had a good many immigrant children. It wasn't a slum district, but the teachers were superb. And they had a special program of teaching English to foreigners. I didn't know any English. Very little. I studied in high school for about a year. So I went there because of that program, and the English instruction was superb, so that I learned English very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they had a Hebrew program, and that meant I could get credit for my knowledge of Hebrew as a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
And that enabled me to finish high school much earlier, because I got, in effect, credit for a whole four courses of Hebrew. By examination.
So you were really separated from your parents at a very early age?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very early.
You were what, 12, did you say?
I was 14.
14, I mm-hmm. see. Your younger brother was 12.
I was 12.
I see. You were in 2 foster homes?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually in 3. One just for 2 weeks because there wasn't enough notice, so one of the executives of the organization took me in until they could make a proper placement.
Mm-hmm.
That actually was the most interesting, and I've kept more contact with them because of had more in common with them.
Well, was this the final placement? Or?
No, the final placement was a family named Mendes in White Plains, New York, who had a single boy, and they really wanted a companion for him. Lived in White Plains, so I finished high school in White Plains, New York.
How did you find these foster home placements? Were they comfortable? Or?
Comfortable, yes. But, for example, last home was turned out to be a situation where the family was in the first stages of getting divorced.
I see.
Which I didn't know.
But you must have felt some of the stress.
But it was uncomfortable.
Yes.
In other words, there was a tremendous amount of tension between husband and wife. The wife was an aggressive, very aggressive and strong person, and the husband was dignified, very handsome, but not too successful. And so the two families had problems. The husband came from a very prestigious Sephardic family.
The Mendes family?
Mendes family.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife also was Sephardi, but not quite so distinguished. So he married down, but she thought he wasn't good enough for her.
So problems.
Ultimately, it resulted in a divorce.
Well, which family were you with the longest?
With them. I mean, it was about a year and a half.
I see.
So you stayed a year and a half with the
Mendes? Yes, yes.
So you went to...
Maybe two. Well, it's not that important. And I graduated from high school there.
Was there any religious influence in the home there?
Well, the first home was religious, but when I came to the United States, I became less religious. And one reason I was to change is because I wasn't religious enough for this family.
Oh, I see. Had you been bar mitzvah
when
you left?
Oh, yes. In Germany, yes.
Your own family?
My own family was religious.
I see.
But I think all this experience made me question both the existence of God and the rationale. Mm-hmm. I mean, this in adolescence, anyhow, this sometimes happens. But
that's
I think
right.
The experience certainly had an effect on my religious outlook.
In these foster homes, were there any cultural influences?
Well, they were all very cultural homes. But I would say my Jewish background was much better than people. I knew more about Jewish matters than the families or the children in any of the homes. But they were very cultured homes, so that music and arts.
Was there a synagogue affiliation?
Oh, yes. All of them had a synagogue. And
was this conservative? Or?
Well, the first one was Orthodox.
Yes, I understand.
The last one was also Orthodox, with the Sephardic synagogue in New York City. They didn't go there very often because White Plains, New York.
You never saw your parents?
Pardon me?
Did you ever see your parents again after this?
No. Mm-hmm. They migrated to Holland and couldn't adjust. My father actually went to Palestine, but he couldn't find a job. Unemployment was very great. At the age of 50, he went back to Holland.
Oh, that was sad.
Nobody dreamt what happened.
So they were picked up in Holland?
They were picked up in Holland.
I see.
In other words, they left Germany. And also, I think after the children left, their own relationships apparently had all kinds of tension, so they got divorced.
Oh, I see. Your parents became divorced.
Yes, 1936 something. That was very difficult for their children because they were just totally unprepared for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, stress brings on a lot of
tensions. My mother was much more cultured and felt he wasn't the right man for her and so on. So it was...
This was after you were all gone?
All gone, yes. In other words...
But for the record, could we have your mother's maiden name?
Goldschmidt.
I see. How was your school experience? In White Plains?
Well, at Jefferson High School it was superb because one of the teachers, Florence Friedman, was the daughter of the person where we had first come to. And she was a Hebrew teacher at that school. She since then became a professor at Hunter University in English and is an author and a very accomplished person. Florence Friedman, now her this was an extremely stimulating atmosphere, and I mean her maiden name was Bernstein, John L. Bernstein. He was one of the, I would say, main leaders of Hyers. Mm-hmm. And Hyers was involved in this program. Then when we moved to my plans, it was a pleasant experience. I mean, high school was not particularly challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel too comfortable in the social milieu of the high school, dances and so on, because I really hadn't been sufficiently Americanized.
I see.
To
fit in.
To fit in, and I never acquired a taste for baseball. So, but that was really only about a year. The last year I was at, so I graduated from there. Quite early. In other words, I graduated at age 16. I got so much credit, and the preparation in Germany simply was much more thorough. So even though I had to learn English, I graduated almost 2 years early.
I see.
It's still a shock to me to realize how poor our education system is. Because
by comparison,
yes. You know, was able to graduate that early. Took really very little problem in my courses in spite of the language handicap.
You spend your adolescent years with his family in my place.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't involved in too many social activities, and according to what you say, you weren't exactly comfortable with these people.
Yeah, I mean,